And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Barry Strohm, photographer of angels, fairies, and ETs, author of books dealing with all aspects of the afterlife, a host of two podcasts and two radio shows, channeler of Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, and more, and has over 500 videos based upon spirit communication on his YouTube channel. Barry, thank you for joining me, and welcome.
Hey, thank you for asking. It's an honor to be here. After that description, I didn't recognize myself.
Well, we're excited to have you, and we want to know first, how did you get into this photography?
Well, I had an antique gallery in Pennsylvania, and it was 8 miles from Gettysburg, which is an incredible battlefield. I mean, for anybody that ever wants to meet a ghost, that's the place to go to meet it. And I started going out in the evenings, taking pictures of on the battlefield at night. Started using three different cameras. I'd shoot infrared, a couple different settings, because I'd always be trying to get photographs on multiple cameras to prove that what I was getting was true and accurate. And so I started spending my evenings out there by myself taking pictures. Wound up with an awful lot of ghost pictures. Got pictures of things I didn't believe existed. Started getting pictures of fairies. Got some pictures of angels out there. Ghosts, soldiers, just about anything you can think about in the world of paranormal, we photographed out there. It was started out as a hobby and kind of became an obsession.
Were you seeing any of these beings, ghosts, fairies, apparitions with the naked eye, or only on camera?
At that time, I was only seeing on camera. But we were shooting all digital, so that I was always watching the backs of the cameras to see what the photograph was. And if I had an object, then I'd fire the other two cameras at it as well.
You must have had some kind of setup where you would have all three, you know, focusing on one area.
Well, there's a lot of tricks to it. You have to use a fixed focus because the spirits move so fast that autofocus can't handle it. So you would set it like 20 feet and a fixed focus for 20 feet, and you just shoot there and hope you had enough depth of field to take care of your photograph. There's a real knack to it. It took a while. We did, for a couple of years, my wife and I did animal photography professionally. So I've always been halfway nuts about cameras and things. So it was just kind of like this progression, but I wound up, my first book that I published was called Haunting and History of the Battle of Gettysburg. And I had 220 ghost pictures in it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they were all real. They're all, everything I do, I took it by myself. Guarantee they're not doctored. They're just, you know, you may play with the light a bit to bring out the images because you're shooting everything at dark. But it's, they're out there.
Well, have you ever gained the ability of seeing these things with the naked eye?
Yes, when I was doing this, I didn't understand I had these abilities. Once we learned to channel and started to understand things, I start to be able to see things out there. Gettysburg is incredible. I mean, there's more spirits there than anywhere that I've ever been. But now sometimes I see them, sometimes I don't. I never know what's going to happen next at this stage, to be honest with you.
I don't know how many people have died there, probably thousands, if not tens of thousands.
52,000 were either killed, wounded, or missing.
Have you ever considered why some of them aren't leaving? Like, why don't some of them figure it out and move on?
Actually, we've done quite a bit of work with that. I got to give you a little bit of a background story. I was raised near Hershey, which is near Gettysburg, so I've always been drawn to the battlefield. When I was a kid, I wanted to go out. So trying to figure out what's going on, we started to learn channeling. We started out with a specially designed channeling board. It's round, had the numbers in a circle. Not a Ouija board by any stretch of the imagination. Had a glass surface on it, and we used we actually used a glass, shot glass, and then I had glass made out of quartz, so I was even more sensitive. We have some videos up from the earlier days where you can see us using the channeling board. But I was out there one night and taking photographs, and there was always this spot on the battlefield where I got great pictures. There was always activity, orbs, ghosts. So this one night I'm out on the battlefield, pitch dark by myself, and I'm walking down this wooded path where I'm always getting this activity. And all of a sudden in my head, I hear, don't go. So I stopped, went back about 50 feet, and this huge tree falls right on the path where I would have been. So I'm thinking guardian angels, et cetera, et cetera. So we went back, and we were using the channeling board as a crutch then. So we got the board out, and I asked my spirit guide, I said, who saved my life out there? Because there's no question I'd been under that tree. And the answer comes back, it was the boys. What in the world? Who are the boys? And the answer comes back, it was the soldiers you fought with. Wow. I'm going, now this is getting really insane.
Yeah,
I said, okay, now you need to explain it. And they said, well, you were a Confederate soldier and you fought at that spot in Gettysburg. And it was the soldiers that you fought with that saved your life out there. Well, this is really crazy, because at this point, I'm not sure what my abilities are, what's happening, and then all the strangeness that's going on around us. So I got a ghost box. And I took the ghost box out on the battlefield, and I said, boys, do you recognize me? And over the ghost box, I hear, yes, sir, Captain.
Wow.
And now I'm talking to the soldiers that I fought with out there. So this really starts to break things loose. So I'm starting to get understandings. There were areas that they can still identify your soul, even though there's hundreds of years difference. I can't explain that one. But there's places on the battlefield that I can't go because they recognize me as a Confederate soldier. One night, my wife and I were out there taking pictures, and one of the soldiers threw a stone at our truck. Nobody around, and all of a sudden this stone bounces off the side of it. And I asked the guides, and the answer came back, they really don't want you there. Now I'm part of the boys out on the battlefield.
Did you ask them, why are you guys still here?
Yes, I did. One time I go out and I ask them, and they said, Captain, put your head down. They're still shooting at you. I said, why are you guys still here? And the answer was, because those damn Yankees are still here. There's a channel of the unknowing dead. Once you move into the other side, there's not just a single dimension of heaven. There's, the soul has a choice. It can remain earthbound, and those are the ghosts that we see. But there's also another secondary dimension to heaven where the spirits are not aware that they're dead. One 4th of July, we're out on the battlefield, and we had friends that had a home that were on parts of where the fighting took place. And we had the channeling board. And in comes this Confederate captain of cavalry. And we were on Lee's retreat route at the time. And we were sitting at the table with the channeling board. The women had shorts and baseball caps and we're all sitting. And the first message we get is, what is this method address? And I said, well, who are you? And he gave me his name. And he said, I must be dreaming. What am I seeing? And I said, well, who are you? He gives me his name, tells me where he fought, who he was, who his commander was. Well, I knew a lot about the battlefield. So I started asking specific questions. I said, exactly where were you? Willoughby Run. Who was your commanding officer? General Asher. What happened to him? He was captured. Well, these questions are dead on the whole way down. And I said, well, who are you? And he said, I'm in the cavalry, and I'm covering the retreat route. Okay, everything, I mean, he's dead on. So I said, would you mind bringing your soldiers up? And we were actually flying a Confederate flag. And he said, can I trust you to be safe? I said, yes, we're flying your flag. You know, we're Southerners. He brings his soldiers up. I have a picture of a Confederate soldier standing there looking at that Confederate flag. And he had no idea. I mean, he thought he was still defending where he was exactly 150 years earlier. It was a crazy night, but that's what introduced me to the Channel of the Unknowing Dead. It was the 4th of July, and the fireworks started going off. And he goes, oh my God, Union artillery. You promised me we'd be safe. I said, you're okay, bud. You know, nothing's going to happen. But it was a crazy evening, but we actually got to talk with all these individuals that were in that Unknowing Dead channel.
If we go back to the channeling board for just a moment, is that used like a Ouija board where you're holding to a glass and spirit is moving the glass to letters?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. It all comes down. Now we modified the board. As I said, we would put lemon oil on it. So it did not take much energy to move the glass around. But you can go back and see some of the early videos, and you'll be amazed. I've seen that glass go across so fast it hits the edge of the board and it goes flying. But that's how we learn, was simply by taking all the letters and words. And all of a sudden I realized that as I would hit the first letter of a word, I was hearing it in my head. So then we have videos, a couple of videos where you can see me just going really rapidly with this thing by only hitting one letter. And then the guides came in one night and said, you don't need the board. Trust your, have confidence in what you're hearing and just speak. So from there on out, I was just speaking the words of the spirits. And then we went through this long transition of who to trust and who was speaking to us, how to identify energies and things.
That's interesting, because that was my next question.
I know.
And that is about, you know, can there be negative entities out there, which people get afraid of when using a Ouija board?
Absolutely. You have to be able to control the energies, because when you're using that board, you're opening a channel to the other side. So you have to be protected. Like, we are very, very heavily protected because of our 1000% belief in God. So I can talk to archangels, so Michael helps us whenever we open channels, but we are totally protected with what we do. And on our one radio show, we always say a prayer of protection. When we started this, the guides actually gave us a prayer that we use, and we still use that to this day.
Do you see any difference between using a regular camera and infrared?
Yes. You got to shoot flash even in daylight with a regular camera to get pictures. But with infrared, you can get continuous pictures with it. We had, our antique gallery was incredibly haunted. We had a portal in the basement, a real portal. And I put infrared cameras on the portal, and we could sit on the camera and watch the ghosts coming in and out through the wall. So the difference is you get a spot picture with flash generally, or you get continuous pictures with infrared.
I had a previous guest, I don't know if you know of him, Dr. Courtney Brown, but he He modifies a regular digital camera to shoot video in infrared. Yeah. And he basically said that you can point it anywhere in the sky and video for about 10 minutes and you will get a UFO. He thinks that they're everywhere up there and they're cloaked. And with the infrared, you'll pick them up. Have you ever done anything like that?
I've never picked up alien photography with infrared. I have picked up alien photography with standard cameras and flash. But I've never done it with infrared. Now, the aliens are in another dimension as well. That's how they do it. They move from our three dimensions to several other dimensions that we can't see into. And there are a lot of aliens out there, but I don't know how successful you'd be just snapping your fingers and getting a photo of them.
Yeah, he was, like I said, he was recommending a certain camera. He said if you send it to somebody, they'll modify it for you where it's shooting it in infrared. And then he said you have to be shooting the video in 4K and, I don't know, 250-something frames per second because they're flying so fast that it needs to be a sharp video and you've got to slow it down to see them.
Spirits move incredibly fast. I took a photograph on the battlefield one night of orbs, and I had a Canon in front of me for reference to show that I wasn't shaking the camera or anything, and it was in photos. I had a field of orbs behind me, and I had one orb that left a light trail across in front of the camera. And I did the math on it. And for that orb, I know I had my setting was a 60th of a setting of a second. And when I did the math, that orb was traveling over 400 miles per hour. Mm. So they are, I mean, you'll take one frame, shoot immediately, and it'll be full of orbs. Because it's incredible how fast they can travel.
A lot of the detractors of orb photography will say it's just dust. How do you tell the difference between dust and orbs?
Once you do this, you can tell. I have a whole collection of orbs with faces in, for instance, the faces of the soldiers on the battlefield. But when I had the store and I had the infrared camera set up, I got to know most of the ghosts that were in the store. Mm-hmm. And I could go down. And when they would be there in orb form, I could have them actually do loops on command. And I mean, I had a newspaper reporter one time in, and the orb, you could see the orb on the camera we were watching. And I asked it to do a loop, did a loop right in front of him and flew off. So a lot of them are dust, no question about it. You can't do it. If you have ground fog, you can't take photos. That all shows up. But once you understand what you're looking at, you'll tell a real one when you see it.
Well, let's take a look at some of your photos, and perhaps we can start with a fairy photo.
Okay. That was taken on the battlefield, and the building was probably 50, 60 feet away from me. And the object was by the water pump, so you can compare size with it. It's actually one of the maintenance buildings on the battlefield. So it was just about the size of a pane of glass. So you can be fairly sure it's not a bug. Everybody's going to say it's a bug, but if that bug's that big, I'm not going back on that battlefield. But that's a real fairy.
How do you know that that's a fairy versus some other being?
I asked the guides. I'd go back and I'd say, okay, what I see, was it, you know, what was this? And he goes, oh, that was a fairy. Okay. I'm good with that. Yeah, I probably have 30, 40 fairy pictures of different shapes. That one with the big one on the railroad tracks, that one was probably about 3 foot in size.
Wow. Now, have you started seeing fairies with your naked eye?
No, I can't say I've ever seen one with my naked eye yet.
I believe I had a guest one time that she would wake up in the middle of the night and point the camera in her room. And I think, interesting, next to her bathroom door, and she would pick up little fairies.
Yeah, there'd be nothing surprising about that. I mean, once you start seeing these things, it gets very impressive. We had an apartment right in downtown Gettysburg where I was writing the book, right in the center of the battlefield. And I woke up one night and I looked and I thought somebody had broken into our apartment. This guy was standing right at the foot of the bed. I threw the light on, jumped out of bed, and I'm always a bit of a defensive person, and I happened to have a handgun in my bedstand. I actually pulled the handgun out and pointed it at this, and I could see that the guy had a Confederate uniform on. And he just looked at me and faded away into the out of the room. But it was that real that I'm standing going for a handgun for him. And next night I took a ghost box back to the apartment. And I said, I'd like to speak with the ghost that was in my bedroom last night. And over the ghost box, we hear Ed comes over. I said, Ed, were you in my bedroom last night? And he goes, yep. I said, are you going to do it again? And he goes, yep. And so that was Ed. But that was one of the most vivid looking spirit apparitions I've ever seen. It was crazy.
What ghost box are you using?
I had an old Sanjian phone and I hacked it myself, and it just sets up a background noise.
Kind of like a white noise or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It just scans the AM dial real fast. That's all it does.
Tell us about this photo.
That was about 500 feet away from where I actually fought when I was in that prior life. And I was taking pictures. Now you'll note it's daylight. See, that's not in the dark.
Yeah.
And I shot it with the flash, and I looked, and holy crap, here's a floating head.
It almost looks like you're seeing him from the side, like looking towards his left.
Yeah, he would have been in that position. It would have been a Confederate soldier, and he would have truly been looking down towards his lines.
It almost looks like he has a beard.
He does.
That's great. What's going on with this picture?
That's very early first day fighting. That is actually a member of the Iron Brigade. And they came in on the fighting had just started. Asher's brigade was moving up from the west. And they threw these guys in and did not give them time to load their muskets. They put them directly into a bayonet charge in that precise spot. And that's what you're looking. He is in classic bayonet charge position when you look at him closely. And that's more of an energy cloud photograph rather than a solid type app.
It's a terrible thing to think about, that if you are locked into believing you're in war, like for eternity.
Well, the angels will help move them on. They'll let them in. Keep in mind, on the other side, there's no time. So, you know, if you do it this 100 years of ours or next 100 years, it doesn't really mean that much, because there's no time. It's like a spiral. Time is very difficult to describe on the other side. But there's really no rush. There'll be a time that the angels will come in and they'll help move them on and get them into the true realms of heaven. But it's free will. They want to stay there. They're happier with the soldiers they fought with. Maybe they didn't even know they died yet. But I mean, we've had amazing spirit attachments. We had an oil painting at the antique gallery where the spirit had attached to the oil painting, and the spirit would talk to anybody that was sensitive. I mean, it was hanging on the wall. And it would continuously bitch about the music we played in the antique gallery. So one day I'm up at the counter and this lady comes up and she says, I want to buy a painting back here. So I walk back to her and I said, is that the one you're talking about? His name was Joseph. I said, would you mind telling me how this oil painting's talking to you? You know, because people talk about something that's not really paranormal. And she said, well, I was walking by, and she said, I'm a psychic. So I was walking by and he stopped me and he said, would you please take me home with you? Because I hate the music they play here. So she buys this $1,500 oil painting because the spirit talked to her.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
What, in your opinion, happens on the other side once we die? Do we reincarnate? Do we go to, through a life review or what?
All the above. When your soul, on death, your soul immediately leaves the body. You may make a decision to remain earthbound for a while. You might have been fighting. It could be a complete surprise and you want to stay with your buddies for a bit. But eventually your soul will enter the realms of heaven. Seven realms, no hell, lower level under the realms of nothingness, where they put the really bad guys, which they can be there for thousands upon thousands of our years. Upon death, depending on how you live your life, is depending how you're going to be greeted. Live a good life, follow the simple commands of God, do unto others as you do unto yourself. You'll be greeted by your guides. You'll be greeted by your family members. And there will always be an angel there to help out. Azrael is the angel of death. If you're high ranking in the realms of heaven, he'll probably be there in person to help with the transition. He has many, many other angels that will assist. Your guides will tell you what you've done right, what you've done wrong in your life. You are judged. Your soul truly has everlasting life. Once you're judged, you know, you go to the realm in which you've earned your place. You had a life plan when you went in. How closely you followed that life plan will determine whether you remain in that level. It takes many lifetimes to advance. But your guides will tell you what you did wrong, what you did right. And then depending on what level you're in, you're on your own. You can spend time with your deceased family members. You can visit realms that are lower than you are, but you cannot visit a realm that is higher than you are. And the higher you are, the more things you can do. Seventh realm's the highest. I mean, they can think where they want to be and they'll be there. Enter any dimension you want. Almost total freedom. Heaven is, I mean, we continuously ask people to describe heaven for us. The answer usually comes back, it's indescribable. It all depends on what you want it to be. If you want to, when you die, if you always think you're going to go through a tunnel of light, that's what you'll see. The thing, the scary part is, if you're an atheist and you think that there's nothing, there may be nothing. It's a classic. You got to be careful what you wish for.
The ghost face in the ring.
Oh, that's crazy. We were doing an antique show and a friend of mine was a jeweler. And a person wanted to buy that ring. So he said, would you mind taking some photographs of it for me so that I can, the guy wants to send a picture of the ring to his girlfriend to see whether they want to buy it or not. I took this picture and this guy's face, the previous owner of the ring, was dead center in this horseshoe. And I looked at it and I said, you may not want to send this to his girlfriend, but that is an absolute spirit attachment of the previous owner. He was probably killed wearing it. But that was as impromptu a photograph as you will ever see in your lifetime. But that was the last thing I was expecting.
Tell us about the ghost woman in the mirror.
Oh, that one's amazing. I was a total non-believer till I was about 60 years old. And as I say, we had this antique hour and employees would tell me things had happened and I would think they were smoking dope. So once I started to spend more time there, there were things I couldn't explain at that point. So I had a professional paranormal group come in to do an investigation. And one of the pictures that they took in that investigation, the guy in the center is real, but that is a solid apparition of a ghost looking over his shoulder in the mirror. And when they showed me that, we thought it was another investigator. I mean, it's as good a picture of an apparition as you will ever find. But that was taken in the store during an investigation.
Now, this appears to be one of your ET photos. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. One night I was out on the battlefield and I was driving my wife's convertible. And it was close. Park was getting ready to close. And I took a picture from the car. I'd stopped it and just shot a picture. And I saw this bar of blue lights out there on the back of the camera. And I started taking pictures of it. And I was firing all three cameras. I have over 40 frames of that image in different positions. This thing followed me for about half a mile in the car. I was taking pictures at the side of the car. And that was showing up in all the pictures on all three cameras. No doubt it was real. No doubt it was following me. None whatsoever.
Now, this is something you could see with your naked eye.
I could see some light, you know, like little flashes and things going on, but not the detail that you see in the camera. So this was the time that I was writing the books about aliens. And we were channeling with the spirit of an alien. So I went back and I asked him what it was. And he said that it was an alien drone. And they had put it out to follow me to see what I was doing that night.
How did they know about you?
Well, when we were channeling, I started asking questions about aliens. So one night they said, we can't answer this, but we'll introduce you to someone that can. I said, who's that? And he said, oh, it's an alien spirit. His name's Moo. All of a sudden, we start channeling with this alien. And he says, I'm going to be with you for 2 to 3 years. And I'll give you as much information as I can. And you're to write some books about the information. So I wound up writing 2 alien books based on channelings that we did with Moo.
Do you think that there are ETs here with us on Earth?
Oh, my goodness. They're everywhere. No question.
Within our realm, like interacting with us?
Of course, yeah.
You
have Palladians that would have been with you for generations. I knew a woman that was an incredible psychic. Had quite a few abductions she was aware of. And she was channeling with us one night. And I asked if I had ever met any Palladians. And the guide comes back yes, you're sitting next to one. And she goes, oh my God, that answers all my questions. But she was a generational Palladian.
What does that mean, a generational Palladian?
The Palladians basically began as shapeshifters, and they could be identical to humans in shape and form, and just simply came and began to live with humans, breed with them, live with them. And the children may not know actually that they were members of the Palladian race.
Okay, so she was a child of a Palladian shapeshifter and a human.
Yeah.
And other people will talk about other ETs, like the reptilians live in caves here on the planet.
No, that's not necessarily true. I've seen a reptilian in person.
Where?
Standing in our bedroom.
Was that something that just phased in and out of our dimension or what?
Yeah. Well, my wife has been abducted. We have absolute proof of that. So we were in Pennsylvania and I was writing the alien books at the time. I woke up in the middle of the night and I see this big form standing by the side of the bed. I sit up and I think, man, I got to be dreaming this one. I'd lead a pretty weird life, in case you haven't caught on. I looked over at this thing and it turns its head, looks at me, and would you believe the damn thing smiles? And then, bam, I'm knocked right back out. I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, did I see this? Did it, you know? So I told Connie, I said, you know, you may have gone for another trip last night because I think I saw an alien standing in the bedroom. So we were taught board channeling with by people in Salt Lake City. And we were in Pennsylvania. So I called him and I said, are you guys available with your channeling board tonight? Because I have to ask you a question. So that night we get on Skype with them and they're sitting at their channeling board. Now they had zero knowledge of this. Absolutely no idea what I was going to ask. They're 2,000 miles away. And I did not even tell Connie this thing had smiled at me. So I said, Moo, can you come through for them out in Salt Lake? He says, yes, how can I? So they get the message, how can he help you? I said, did I see an alien last night? The message that comes from Salt Lake City is yes, and did you see him smile at you?
Wow.
So, well, what can I say?
What other ETs are on the planet besides aliens and reptilians? I mean, Pleiadians and reptilians.
Oh, hundreds. They have a base ship that they hide behind, usually behind Jupiter, so we can't see it. Right? It's huge, like the size of the United States. And one night I asked Moo, I said, how many alien forms are on that ship? And he said, roughly 250. Are you familiar with the Nazca lines in Peru?
Yes.
There are different forms. The big spider form down there.
Mm-hmm.
They were making images of the spider people that were helping them. So that spider is an alien form. Stood about 7 foot.
Have they told you when are they going to fully reveal themselves to us?
It's happening now. They told us that disclosure would start in 2020. And it basically did. Social media, all the stuff coming out. It's going to be in a very short period of time. It'll be full disclosure.
I mean, will it be as such like they're just going to land a ship in Walmart parking lot and we're all going to see it?
Could be. Guarantee it won't be the spider people, but it's going to be somebody.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
They have to, they're preparing us for it. It's been happening for, I asked them when the first time aliens ever visited Earth, and they said the time of the dinosaurs. So they've been here forever. They've been helping us forever. I mean, they've given us much of the technologies that we have.
We just
did two shows on our channeling history show where we actually channeled another alien on both the shows. So we get some bizarre stuff.
Have you asked them about the history of humanity? And if so, were we created or modified from something else?
You were created. Actually, what the form that we're in is the second form that God tried to create. The first form he tried was when Earth was basically covered with water, a lot more water than we had. That's why you see dolphins as mammals and having brains and whales and all the intelligence. But they realized that they couldn't bring the form out of the water. So he creates another form, which is humans, about 300,000 years ago.
I've had a couple of my guests who during their near-death experience wound up in another planet, which we call the water planet.
No problem with that. Everything around us is interdimensional. That's why souls can go to other planets when you're in heaven, because you're simply in that dimension. In an NDE, you actually enter that dimension. So it's possible that you could be to another spot. I mean, I've done out-of-body experiences, but it's just been around this country.
Are you able to remote view?
No. I have had glimpses of heaven, and I've seen bizarre things, but I don't consider myself a remote viewer. Hmm. My total gift is being able to speak the words of the spirits.
I first learned about you and your channeling of the Prophet Muhammad.
Great spirit, yes.
And I would love to get you back and have you channel him if it's possible.
No problem. I do it anytime you want.
Who is your favorite person to channel?
God. We do that. Our Wednesday morning podcast is a weekly message from Jesus. And incredible messages. And when you listen to one, you'll realize there's no way I'm doing it. I'm just simply speaking his words.
When you channel, are you aware of what's going on, the conversation, or are you totally out of it?
Semi. It's a very, very light trance. Sometimes I know what's going on. I don't often remember what we've talked about, but it's I've done it with accents of the people. I just simply never know what's going to happen. We did Mahatma Gandhi one night, and I did the entire hour show with an Indian accent.
When you do channel, do you have to do some type of preparation?
Nope. I just ask for the spirit, and if that spirit is in the realms, it will come to me immediately and let me speak its words. If it's reincarnated, I can't, obviously it's back and I can't reach it. If it is in the lowest level, I cannot reach it. They will not let me talk with evil people. Like if I wanted to talk to Stalin, forget it, would not happen.
What are we looking at in this picture?
In this picture, I was out on the middle of the battlefield one night, and it was a clear night. There were no clouds, perfectly clear. And I took this photograph. And when I looked at it, I realized that you could see the shapes of the wings of an angel. And in its, when you look at it, you'll see that it has its hands and arms downward towards the battlefield. And if you look real close, you'll see that it has an image of a head and the body of a soldier. And this is how the angels move the soldiers along and bring them into the realms. But it's an energy form. It's not like a solid apparition. We refer to it as ectoplasm. But keep in mind, there were no clouds in the sky that night. It was a clear night.
You have a book about angels. Is that full of angel photos?
No. Actually, we don't have any. I didn't include any photos in this because I wanted to focus on the messages. It took like 3 years to put the book together. But we channeled over 20 archangels. Now, yes, there's only three mentioned in the Gospels, but there's like 30 or 40 of them in reality. But I've taken the messages that we got from 20 different angels. Azrael, the angel of death, Raphael, angel of healing, Michael, angel of protection. So they're wonderful, wonderful messages. And I've just started to publish the book. It just came out. It's on Amazon. This one we brought out in hardcover and paperback and Kindle. All three of those are on Amazon. If anybody would like a personalized copy of it, they're for sale on my website. It's barrystrom.com. But when I went back and edited these messages, they're phenomenal messages. This book tells almost everything that you would need to know about heaven. It comes at it from all different angles. I mean, there's even an archangel of music that we've channeled. And I'm a little biased, but I think it's a pretty good book. I think it's one that really can change people's lives if they want to follow the messages that are in it.
Are there different types of angels? I mean, there's archangels and there's what people call guardian angels. But are there other levels?
Yes. Angels progress much like humans progress through the realms. Now, angels have been around since creation, just the same as human energy has. But some angels have done outstanding work. For instance, Gabriel, when Jesus walks the earth, Gabriel carried a lot of the load of giving the information to the disciples and Mary and Joseph. But there are different levels of angels, but there is never, ever any such thing as an evil angel. The concept of Satan being a fallen angel is just something the ancients made up. They didn't have any other way to describe evil, so that was the best thing they could think of.
What are those type of beings?
Evil is separate, is simply evil energy. You can think of Satan as the personification of evil energy. Evil does not exist in heaven. It's only on earth and the other planets. But you know, God created evil energy as a test for humans, see how they reacted to it. And sadly, he found out.
What is the point of coming to earth in the big picture?
To learn lessons that the soul has to learn. Earth is a very young civilization. There are civilizations in the galaxy that are millions of years old. They've learned a lesson of coexistence and love. They know that they've got these incredible weapons. They could wipe each other out, but they've learned to get along. If a soul has a difficult lesson to learn, it will come to Earth to learn it. There are some other planets that are also young cultures, but we have not learned the lessons that we need to learn to truly get along with the other members of the galaxy. That's why we haven't had full disclosure yet. Once humans learn to get along, understand everybody is equal, that there are no borders, no boundaries, then that's when you'll truly see the fullest of disclosure.
Well, after watching this podcast, there may be a lot of people who have questions for you. If you're up for it, how can they reach you?
The easiest way to reach me is through my website, barrystrome.com. My email is onestrome@gmail.com, but I'm not that hard to find.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
Once again, it's my name, Barry Strome.
All right.
I try to keep things simple. If I name it after a simpleton, it's easy to remember.
Well, do you have anything else that you're working on that you want us to know about?
Possibly. We're trying to do some big things. One of my books is called Channeling the Life of Jesus. So we're working on a project that quite possibly may let many people understand the missing years of Jesus. That's way out there, but something we're working on. And I'm working on my 11th book, which is another volume of messages of God.
That's fascinating. What have you found out so far about what Jesus was doing during those missing years?
Everything. I wrote a whole book about it. Starts at his, the Gospels tell you about his birth, some little incident that happens when he's supposed to be 12 years old. Next thing you know, he's 28 years old. Well, for one thing, Jesus gets married and has 5 children. He lives a normal life. That's why nothing's written about him. They didn't want his family. They wanted the existence of his family to be a secret because they're afraid the Romans would kill him. Keep in mind, Jesus knows from the start how he's going to die, that it's going to be bad. And he wants to protect his family from the Romans. So that's one reason why they never write anything about it. But there's absolutely nothing in the Gospels about that period of time.
I've heard before that the Romans actually kept pretty meticulous records. So to me, it's interesting that that time period of him is lost.
Wasn't an accident. It was all planned. I mean, when you go into the intricacies of the life of Jesus, he brought back all 7th level souls. For instance, when you talk with Mary, she served God many times, Joseph, all the key players, the disciples. These were all people that are 7th level servants. The life of Jesus is totally orchestrated. It ties back, goes back 1,000 years BC. Ezekiel sent back to prepare. I mean, it's when you truly understand what takes place, it's an incredibly unbelievable story.
Do you know about the book called Urantia?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's a channeled book, and it is huge. It's like, I think, at least 1,000 pages. And it was channeled, I think, back in the 20s or so. But it's kind of divided into 4 parts. And one of the parts talks about the missing years of Jesus. I just wondered if you've seen it.
No, I intentionally, I mean, I'll do some background research for stuff like this. but I just want all the words to be pure. They're just, it's his story. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. All I am is a person writing the words.
I think in the book, it says that Jesus was born sometime in September.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Wow. Do you have a date for that?
No. They didn't have the, it's very hard for the spirits to talk accurately in dates, because on that side, there's no time. And we're on Earth, you have linear time. But once they get over there, it kind of gets all mixed up for them. Mm. So we find that a lot of the mistakes we make are in time. But he did truly mention September as the time of birth.
It's fascinating. All right, Barry, before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
The miracles of God are beyond any comprehension of man. You will find that the more that you learn, the more you understand how much is to be learned.
Barry, thank you for that message, and thank
That's
you.
That's not my words. They jumped in and gave me the words.
Well, let me rephrase it. Barry, thank you for sharing that message.
You're welcome.
And thank you for being my guest.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.